Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Keep smiling, keep shining, knowing you can always count on me. For sure, that's what friends are for. For good times and bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
Yes, take it from Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Stevie Wonder, and Gladys Knight. In good times or in bad times, you'll want to have friends by your side. But when you're an adult, making new friends comes with a lot of challenges. And if you're a queer adult, you face an even more particular set of challenges in finding your group of adult friends, or as our next guests will explain, your gaggle. Who's here to do that? It's none other than Kathy Tu and Tobin Lowe, co-host of Nancy, WNYC's podcast on queer stories and conversations. In their most recent episode, which starts off their third season, congratulations, they focus on the difficulty of making queer friends in adulthood and put together a toolbox for anyone who needs a little assistance. We'll talk about the month-long project of challenges and experiments for listeners to grow your own friend group, queer or straight or other, and we'll invite your calls on how you've managed or not to gather your own adult gaggle. Hi, Kathy. Hi, Tobin.
Hello. Hey. Thank you for that fabulous music intro, too.
I know. Great choice. Great choice.
Credit producer Simon for thinking of Dionne Warwick and friends. Kathy, tell us about the How to Get a Gaggle project.
Well, so friends, as an adult, it's hard to make friends. I think we all kind of know that. And when Tobin met this guy, Joe, he kind of had this issue about making adult queer friends as sort of like a promised gaggle of people that you get as an adult. Like, promised to us by shows like Will and Grace. Mm-hmm. Say, Queer as Folk.
Looking. All of these shows that tell you that as an adult, you will have this family of queer people
yeah.
who will love you and accept you. And not everyone has it.
Yeah.
Our but chosen, a lot of people want it.
Our chosen family isn't always around when we want it to be.
Is there a difference between a gaggle and a posse?
Oh,
great question, Brian. The hard-hitting question. I think gaggle for us, as we define it, is specifically for groups of queer friends, the people who really get you and understand where you're coming from.
So what's in the friendship toolbox?
Well, so with Joe, the subject of the story, we gave him challenges and tips on how to make queer friends as an adult. So people who get the toolbox will come along with us basically on a journey and get the same tips and challenges all in the name of making friends as an adult.
Yeah.
So in the episode, you highlight the uncertainty between knowing whether the person you're talking to wants a platonic or romantic relationship as
yes.
one particular challenge.
That is tough. But you know what? You might not know, but sometimes it's only after you become friends can you figure out whether or not it's going to be a romantic thing, or vice versa.
Yeah.
So is this a toolbox that anyone of any sexual orientation can find useful, or what's unique about queer friendships with other queer people?
Well, I think that anyone has the experience of having a friend who not only gets you, but maybe comes from a similar experience that you do, and so you almost have a shorthand with them. So I think that this toolbox, we did specifically build it for queer people to find other queer people, because there is that unique sort of alchemy that happens when you find somebody else who has that experience also.
Yeah, especially if your world isn't, the default people in your world aren't necessarily queer. And also by queer, we're using it as a blanket term for anybody in the LGBTQ community. Just a quicker way to say that. If your default world isn't surrounded by that, it could feel really lonely.
So listeners, we're opening up the phones. How difficult have you found it to make friends as an adult? Queer, straight, anything, what's held you back? Maybe it's personal insecurity or societal obstacles, lack of spaces where you can meet new people or something else, or if you've cracked the code to friend making in adulthood, how did you do it? Where did you do it? What's in your toolkit? At work, at a bar, online, are these good venues? And queer listeners, especially, let us know where and how you managed to find your own gaggle or just one new friend. Were there unique challenges? to making queer friends. Share your tips and strategies with Kathy and Tobin and everybody. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Do you want to put it any additional way to the listeners? How can listeners help kind of expand the toolkit or riff on the toolkit? What can listeners do here?
Well, if you're interested in also getting the toolkit and participating, you can go to nancypodcast.org/friends. Mm-hmm. And that's like a month-long journey that we're going to take together. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to hear what other people's tips are, because we have sort of a finite amount of things that we came up with, but mm-hmm. people get so creative about how they find their people.
Yeah. Ryan, do you have a tip? Your friend tip?
I don't know. Talk to people at the laundromat. You're all
That's
captives.
That's good. That's good.
We want to go down some of the things that are in the tool. Like, I noticed one of the pieces of advice in the first episode is to think of making friends as a job.
Yes. So this, I think, would stress out a lot of people to think of it as a job. What we mean by it is that I think a lot of people, especially if you're sort of starting out the process of trying to meet folks and network, it can feel really emotionally stressful because you're setting yourself up for this emotional journey and possibly failure. If you think of it sort of like a job, it activates the more pragmatic part of your brain that's task-oriented. So for us, it's like, if this is really a goal for you, maybe it would work to think of it as like, okay, I'm going to allot this many hours or this hour to go to a bar and I have to talk to X amount of people, and then that's success. It's not sort of a personal failure if it doesn't work.
Yeah. You got another one, Kathy?
I do this thing where I meet people online on Twitter or Instagram or something like that, and then try to follow up with something that is more personal, either in a DM. What did you call it?
Oh, sliding into a DM.
It just doesn't sound right, but I tend to do that. And then we become friends.
Yeah.
Let's take a call. Michaela in Trenton. You're on WNYC. Oh. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Brian. I guess I honestly couldn't remember your name because I called right after the segment started.
Kathy, too.
But so I'm a recent graduate. I moved to a completely new area, Trenton, right after graduating college. And I really struggled to make friends just because Trenton doesn't have that many young people. So actually, after breaking up with my girlfriend, my sister recommended OkCupid. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to see if there was young people in the area. And I actually ended up making, out of the couple of friends I've made, almost all of them I met through one person on OkCupid. We met up for, I guess, a date, kind of just a meeting to see that they weren't really sketchy. And that person then introduced me to all of their friends who are also queer. And we just kind of get together and play Dungeons and Dragons and go to movies and stuff together.
That's cool. Since you used OkCupid, I'm curious, because I've never been on it, because we think of that as a dating site, is it also explicit there that you can also use the site to make regular friends, not romantic friends?
Yeah, so you can set your preferences. So you can say that you're looking to just make friends, looking for a romantic relationship, a short-term, long-term, just looking to hook up. I kind of had it set originally on all of those and then immediately took off the just hook up one because that leads to a lot of negative interactions. But the friend that I did make, his name is David, he was also just looking to make friends on his profile. We both really like dancing, so that's why I messaged him. And then we end up meeting up at a dancing event in my area and realized that we were just really going to be really, really good friends. And then after I told him about other sketchy experiences I had been experiencing trying to make friends in the area, he decided to just introduce him to all of my friends and make a group chat with us so that I didn't try and get into like any more negative experiences with people in the area. Mm-hmm. And now we're very good friends. We went to like the punk rock flea market recently. We're going to play D&D tomorrow night and go
That's
to wine festivals.
Such a cool story. Michaela, thanks. And call us again.
Yeah. And thank you.
So Tobin, that's interesting. Online dating site to mm-hmm. make friends. I don't know if that's in your toolkit. And of course it suggests a few other whole categories. To me, the things that Michaela was saying, like other kinds of social media, maybe anything online, converting online friends to face-to-face friends, and also finding sort of like groups of interest or people who have like interests. Like she mentioned Dungeons and Dragons. I'll bet there are groups that form to get together and do this, that activity, or go hear, you know, a certain kind of music or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. I think excuse me, just to jump off a thing that she was saying, I think a lot of what the toolkit emphasizes is intentionality, which is to say finding groups that have sort of like-minded interests. And if you can't find it, really creating those spaces and being intentional about, you know, this is something I'm interested in. It will attract other people who are interested in this. And it's a space to build friendship.
Yeah.
Are you big in South Jersey? Because our first caller there was from Trenton, and our next one is Kelly in Toms River. Kelly, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Yeah, so I am queer identifying. I'm bisexual, so I find it kind of easy to align myself in the straight community, but my girlfriend identifies as gay. So for her, it can be a little harder to feel like she has a community around her. So she did like the other caller does, and she would go on to dating sites, do preferences as friends, and find her community that way. And then we will go out with them to like gay bars, so her own sense of community around her as well.
Yeah, and I think that another important thing to take away from that is if you are in an area and you're feeling sort of isolated and like you want to find your community, there's a good chance there's a lot of people around you who are also feeling
the same. Yeah.
And if you put out the feelers, they will be there to find you.
Cool, Kathy. Thank you very much. Beth in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. I love this topic.
Cool.
So a group of girlfriends and I, we call ourselves Team Sunshine, because we met because of a friend who was in need, who said, I need to get out of town. The four of us loosely knew each other. I didn't know a lot of people in the group. I just said yes to this trip. And we ended up in Asbury Park in this hotel room with like plastic leopard furniture and one sweatshirt between the four of us.
Oh my God.
It was hilarious and such a like thrown in the fire way of like forming a friendship, and we ended up having that sense of intentionality that you guys are talking about. And we started planning like other trips out of our environment, and we would go hiking and we would go to different towns, and it became this thing that we did with such intentionality that they have since become like my family. Here in New York, when you're a transplant, it's really hard, but these girls, they are women, they are really like my heart now, and I can't imagine living without them. And it was such a like say yes random moment where we got together in that way.
Yeah, I have to say, like, for this month that we're doing these challenges, like I feel like that's the hardest thing to do, is to say yes to the things that you're going to create for yourself, or you're waiting for somebody to come and get you to do. You just gotta, if you don't have a big group of friends right now, it's gonna feel so weird, but like going to be a month of trying to say yes to things.
And we can hear how these...
It does. It feels weird. And it felt weird as a grown woman to be like, oh, I didn't realize how much I needed these kinds of friends until I was in that moment. And it was...
Yes.
And we all said yes to that moment, right? And we kept doing it. And it became one of the most important things for us as individuals, is to share our real lives out of our real lives somewhere.
That's amazing.
And I think we can hear in your voice how much these friends have become your heart.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God, I love them. I love them. They're my sisters from other misters. It's amazing.
Beth, thank you so much. So another piece of advice from the episode is to put effort into textual relationships.
Mm.
I don't know if we covered that with the OkCupid caller, but it's more than that, right, Kathy?
Well, yeah. I mean, I am a texter. I text a lot of people all of the time. And I feel like just being able to say something that you thought about and not feel the pressure of having to respond immediately is really helpful if you're not used to communicating with somebody so often, or new people that you don't know that well. There's the pressure that I feel like from face-to-face interactions is taken off a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think we hear from a lot of listeners who are nervous about being in bars, in spaces where you have to be really on your feet and interacting and thinking of things in the moment. Textual conversation, social media, whatever you feel about it, it can be a space where you have a little more time to think about how you're responding and how you're interacting with people.
Yeah.
So about thinking of things in the moment, how important is an opening line when making a new friend?
I actually think it's not as important as I think people stress a lot about an opening line. I think an opening line can be dumb. It's as long as you have some things to follow up with that can keep the conversation going. So, for example, in the episode, Joe, our subject, his thing was that he would always just say, nice shirt, and then he didn't know what to say after that. And the advice was really, like, nice shirt works fine. It's a way to start opening a conversation as long as you have some stuff that you can follow up with and talk about.
Yeah.
Something about the socks, maybe?
Yeah. Just go down the outfit.
And Tobin, you call brunch the gay pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
The irony being, I actually don't personally like brunch very much.
I love brunch. This one hates it.
What do you have? Like mimosas and huevos rancheros?
I love egg Benedict, eggs Florentine.
Those are definitely brunch dishes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to leave it there, except tell people about this month of challenges that you have going one more time and how they can participate.
So you can sign up at nancypodcast.org/friends. You'll basically get a month full of emails, challenges, check-ins, and you'll hear more on the show as well about the challenge. So join us, won't you?
Yeah, we'll all be friends together.
Kathy Tu and Tobin Lowe, co-hosts of the WNYC podcast. Nancy, thanks, friends.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, stay with us.